Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep. Stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search and type in We Talk Productions and listen to the show live. You can contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought, PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, at popular request, why are some black neighborhoods communities not a safe place for blacks? 2. As we said last week, In a storm, everyone seeks refuge from the horror of the extreme elements. Blacks have been enslaved, lynched, murdered, tortured, humiliated, and raped for centuries. Some use this as an excuse. Some say it is no excuse for the Twilight Zone that some neighborhoods have become. Why has the black community not become a refuge for its people? Some black neighborhoods, communities, appear to be in crisis 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As Marvin Gaye once said, what's going on? I'm going to go over just a couple of terms. Neighborhood, because we use the word community and neighborhood and it's interchangeable. But they actually have different meanings. Neighborhood is a vicinity, a region, a place of origin where people live near one another. So, but community is more intimate than a neighborhood. It's a unified body of individuals. The people with common interests living in a particular area, broadly the area itself. So it's an area, but the area has a certain type of identity and a certain level of unification in it. And I'm saying this for a reason, because we seem to lack these things in some black communities. And a lot of communities that I've been in. So a group of people with common characteristics or interests living together within a larger society, a body of persons of common and especially professional interests scattered through a larger society, a body of persons or nations having a common history, a common social, economic, and political interests. Like our forefathers were brought here forcibly on ships, forced into slavery, and then the rest is history. You know, we went through slavery, Jim Crow, civil rights, and today when we still have issues with certain portions of the society and government. A group linked by a common policy, an interacting population of various kinds of individuals. So, question is, some may argue that blacks do not live in communities. They live in neighborhoods, and therefore we have this chaos, because basically neighborhoods are people that live in the same area. Like you're walking downtown, everybody's down there, but we're not connected with everybody. So you see somebody get punched in the face across the street, none of my business, that's on that guy, I'm going this way. So we're not connected. We don't have a sense of responsibility, or we may not perceive that at all. That about that situation. But in a neighborhood, you know, like we, you know, the story goes for communities that, you know, a long time ago in the neighborhood, which was more like a community, if you saw a kid, a parent saw a kid doing something, they could say something to their child about what they were doing, and that kid would feel some kind of way about that, and, you know, would change their behavior, it would do something about their behavior. But, you know, nowadays people are apprehensive at the least to say something to people about their behavior, if you understand what I'm saying. Some people may even be afraid, not in the sense of always fearful afraid, but afraid that they might have to hurt somebody, end up in a bad situation, and things like that. And nobody wants to hurt anybody. We have enough people being hurt in our community, which is one of our major problems. So some may argue that blacks don't live in communities, that they live in neighborhoods, and there is a difference that perpetuates the chaos, the general disregard for rules, boundaries, respect, and self-debasing. No one is connected morally or ethically. You do not have to know someone to respect them. If we can agree on that, you don't have to respect what a person's doing. A person could be a drug addict, a thief, and a murderer. You don't have to disrespect them. So why are some black neighborhoods not a safe place for blacks? What is going on with us that we didn't develop a safe place for us after living for centuries in an environment that was unsafe for us. We didn't think as a group of people that we should develop a place where we know we would be safe. Why didn't we do that? So we went through a whole lot of things, you know, Jim Crow, segregation, lynching, rape, homicide, genocide, systemic oppression, deprivation, dehumanization, isolation, assimilation, chemical warfare, biological warfare, et cetera, and the United States of America would be, you'd think those things would be enough to encourage or enforce us to facilitate a need to unite for the safety and the quality of life of black people, but yet we have not done it because I don't know a place where that exists. Maybe there's some small place that exists like that, but in the communities that I know, I don't know a place where people feel, where they say they feel, where they can actually say they actually feel safe. Because some predominantly black neighborhoods appear to be at risk areas or high risk areas. Poverty appears to be a common attribute, but there are many other attributes. So I'm not necessarily, oh, we have a caller already. Caller, welcome to Provocative Thought.
Welcome. How you doing?
All right, my brother.
All right. Well, you hit the nail on the head when you said community and together, and that seems to be the situation at hand. One of the main things is the discipline factor that's not in our neighborhoods, but it's in everybody else's neighborhood. And it's funny how certain laws in certain neighborhoods is rehearsed, but not in our neighborhoods. And like the police, if in a black community or a black neighborhood, because it's not a community, you call the cops. They're coming eventually. But in another neighborhood on the other side of Market, near University of Penn or anywhere in those areas, Drexel, as soon as you call them, they might be dialing the last one when you dial 9-1. You know?
So you're saying before the number's called, they there.
You know.
You're getting a, okay, so do you think that the police don't have respect for the black community because they perceive the black community as a community that does not respect itself? And I'm not saying it's right. I'm just throwing that out there. Absolutely, yeah. You said?
Absolutely. I mean, I've been involved in quite a few scenarios in the past 5-10 years, it's been proven over and over. But yeah, what they call the areas where, well, we're using black or melanated people, where they live, There's no togetherness at all. Now, when we were coming up in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, it was at least better than half than it is now, far better than it is now. There was community or togetherness. You know, I mean, a block. You didn't have to like these people on your block, like you said. But if something kicked off in that neighborhood, all of them came together. Now, anything can happen in that neighborhood, and all of them closing the doors and pulling the shade down. So it's crazy. It's insanity.
So we don't have we have no connection to each other, even knowing that we have this history together. With our ancestors and in the past in this country, you saying that how did we disconnect from the 60s and the mid 70s? How did the disconnect come about?
Well, believe it or not, quote unquote, Bill Cosby said it best. When you broke up the black, quote unquote, black family, you destroyed them. Because when a father's not at home, and I'm sure there are some women that help raise males, but there was some type of male influence in the boy's life.
Right.
It was like, it's totally different now. Like, women, I don't care what anybody say, the males need a male figure, and the females do too. They need their father in their life, or how could we put it, some type of understanding of a role has to be in the male and female life. It has to be. And discipline as well as motivation. Because I grew up with both parents, so I was motivated by father and mother.
Right.
So now, to be honest, I don't know what this is out here. When I walk outside, I'm in the twilight zone. So what's happening out here now is like, then again, you got to look at the political party. Let's look at that too. I mean, look at how everything is set up. Like, for instance, in a quote-unquote black neighborhood, there are no more black stores, as we spoke of before, some last year sometime. There are no black stores. So only thing the young people know now is to go to Walmart or these poppy stores. And that's all they know. And they respect them more than they respect their own people or their own
and
race.
That would be because of they represent people that have power in the community?
You're saying because they... Yeah, you can say
because
that.
They have a,
you can actually.
They have ownership. They have property. They have
right.
a business. So, in terms of, I don't see anybody like me that has a business or ownership of a business. So these people must be, have power. Therefore, must be maybe better than me. I don't know. Is that the idea? I don't know.
Pretty much, you could actually say that because when, like I mentioned about the rules are different, and when you look at in what they call the black neighborhoods, you got to look at how now they are taking people's houses and taxation without representation. All these things come into play when you look at that whole spectrum. And far as respect, the police can just, I don't even call them police because they're not police. They're security guards, the city security guards. They made up laws, and we don't have time to go into all of that, but these are laws made up, period, where you can just stop somebody and harass them because it's not anything else but harass or try to bully them. That's what the police. And that has a lot to do with the – go ahead.
So the chaos in the black community, the rampant drugs, the murder rate, right, the homicide rate, if the homicide rate is high, then the assault rate has to be even higher. So you don't think that warrants – hello?
Yes, by design.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Right. You don't think that warrants more police activity?
It's by design. It's like a stage act. It's like when you set it up like that, that's what you're going to get. Because look at the schools. You took certain things out of schools, like when we were in school. These children today don't have a chance because we had things that didn't motivate us. Like, for instance, I don't want to say sports, but I can say sports and music. That helped, that motivated you. Because I mean real music. I'm not talking about this stuff out here now. I'm sorry, I can't give it no
right.
credit. But the music, I mean, I wanted to play an instrument because I've seen some real people playing some real stuff. And they really wanted to go to school because they had the music in the school that was motivation or their parents played, and they had skills. Now, all they have is cell phones and video games. So it's
well, like
different.
Video games like what? What's that video game they play? Grand Theft Auto. That's interesting video game. Like, it's just a guy running around shooting people, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I'm not really familiar with it, but I have seen kids play those games, and that becomes their reality, which is insanity. So that's pretty bad. This is what we're up against in the design.
Okay,
so
you're saying that. So let me get this. You're saying that this is all a plan to basically eliminate or exclude or seclude the black community from the larger community in terms of being successful and increasing their quality of life. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, absolutely.
Or even incarcerate them.
Right. I mean, Malcolm said it better. Who could have said it any better than he did in the 1960s? I mean, this is an ongoing thing. It's, like, gotten worse now. It's, like, totally chaotic and dead now. At least you had better chance back in the day. Today is, like, I don't know what it is. Like, the pants hanging down and all of that. I don't know even what some things I can't even say. It's so crazy.
That's an interesting phenomenon since you mentioned it. The pants hanging down. Because a long time ago, they had a saying called ass out. It was a saying that described vulnerability. Now they wear their asses out. You understand what I'm saying? So but a long time ago, if you were to have your ass out, it means that you're vulnerable. But now, what does it mean? I guess you couldn't answer that question. What does it mean now to wear your pants and your behind out now? Because a long time ago, it was a slang word for being vulnerable. Your ass is out, man. Ass, I'm assed out. You know what I'm saying? They were saying stuff like that.
And these communities, all the other groups of people, the Russians and the Chinese and the Japanese, they come in these quote-unquote black communities. And I'll use North Philly as a prototype. They done ran through North Philly and stole every damn house that they taxed, and the kids got on drugs and let their parents' house go and all that kind of thing. They done stole several hundred thousand houses in North Philly. I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm talking about city blocks they done took and redid for Temple or other parts of North Philly that's connected to Temple. So I'm saying once you destroy the community like that, or what could be a community where blacks live,
right,
you done totally took over. You done made monsters out of them. You done did the Frankenstein Act.
Oh, okay, so basically they deprived them of the resources needed to improve their lives, right? Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, I just got one question. Who might the day be?
Well, honestly, it's the government. It's
government.
The city hall government, the political party. I mean, taxation without representation. We're supposed to be natural people from the earth living off the land. But that's been gone since they started the Jim Crow thing way back. They started that ball rolling then, or even before then. We can go back to the 1800s when they started taking people's land. I mean, without land, I'd rather have land than have gold and silver.
Right.
If I could eat with the land, I could build with the land. I can't eat gold and silver.
Right.
So when they started making up what they call laws, and these aren't even laws. These are things that they made up. Like, they can make anything up, and we have to follow it because they're bullying you. Don't park on the corner, or we're going to ticket you and boot you. Crazy stuff.
But why are they disrespecting the community? How does that impact on people's behavior? And why are such, like, the disrespect for adults, even for their own lives? You know what I'm saying? Like, why the high-risk behavior? Why all the, why is it, why so much thug life? Why is thug life a big thing now? You know what I'm saying? How did that get to be like, become like mainstream in the community? Because I remember when a thug, you could tell who was the thugs in the community. Now it's hard to tell. I'm going to have another caller. Hold on. Can you hold on for a minute? I got a caller.
Sure. I'll listen.
Welcome to Provocative Thought, Mr. Jones.
How you doing?
It's Kenny Jones. How you doing? All right, my brother. That's all right. You good?
All right. Yeah. Hey, I'm on break. So, why are there so many thugs in the community?
And why has thug life become more commonplace? Because a long time ago, you could tell who the thugs were in the community. Now, it's like you ride around the community, and you can't tell who the thug is.
Yeah, well, You know what they say, the thug life, or the word thug is a new code word for the N word. So I don't know. Thuggish behavior, negative behavior. I mean, you know, it all have its foundation. And I feel that, you know, if people had jobs and businesses and whatnot, I mean, it's still going to be crime. You know,
right.
People going to still go against the system. You know, that would, you know, bad boy or badass, you know. But
right.
The reason why there's so many people that are involved in, I guess, breaking laws, negative activity, you know, it's because it's basically economic conditions, man. And it's just a lack of self-awareness, too, you know. And go back to family, too. You know, you got to include our families into it. If parents are working 2 and 3 jobs, how are they going to be home to give them the foundation to build their character and values? You got to rely on the education. You're going to rely on others to do it.
Right. Community. Build a community.
Yeah.
That will do that.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think that our communities today, I mean, you know, there was the white flight in the late 60s, and then there was the black flight in the early 90s. And now there's gentrification. Now, I might be a paranoid person, but I think it was all part of a plan. You know, you got to remember, white folks love the city, but they moved away from into country areas and suburbs and built it up, and they still were coming back to the city for entertainment and what have you. But now, you know, all the famous black communities around this country are basically gone, non-existent. And again, and I think this is all a part of between crime and drugs. And you got to remember, None of us thought this. Drugs are not brought in by black folks.
Right.
You know what? I read in the new Jim Crow laws, there are more white drug dealers than black drug dealers, but most of the inmates in federal and state prisons are black men. Tell me what's up with that. Can somebody explain?
Well, we know what's up with that. That's discrimination. We know what that is.
Yeah, it's more than just discrimination. It's part of a plan. The black man of the world, or the African male of the world, have always been since the Hannibal days.
Right.
You know, always been afraid of us. Always. And they found some of our weaknesses, and they just went in on us. Went in. They either kill us, jail us, catch assassination, or put us on drugs.
Okay, so that's why they. That's why we have so much disrespect. Hold on, caller 4159. Just hold on for a minute. I'm gonna get you in a few minutes. So basically, our community is so chaotic, and because we're under attack. Our through slavery, our culture is taken away from us. We grew up in broken homes, right? In slavery, after slavery, the economic system does not support family living, right? You said the parents absent from the home, right? Drugs mm-hmm. been put in
well,
the community.
Well,
we don't bring the drugs
it.
In the
yeah.
community.
Right.
We didn't bring the drugs in, but they're there. But what can
yeah.
we do? Okay, all this stuff's being true. Do we have to have this? Why so much disrespect for life, for other people? For I mean, just walking down the street. What happened?
Well, you know, there's a lot of drama, T-R-A-U-M-A. I hope I spelled it right. And a lot of black psychologists are saying that a lot of millennials are suffering from
PTSD.
PTSD.
Right.
Yeah, we're suffering from that. And
right.
Of course, yeah, you know, I grew up in a thriving black community, all black. There were low income, middle income, and upper income blacks. And I just, and also, we got self responsibility too. We got sucked in.
I like that.
And we assimilated. And running the when gangs were first formulated back in the 40s and 50s, it was just they were like the only blacks in the area. It was protect their community. It was a bond of brotherhood. And now it's they murder Inc. They murder
right.
Inc. You know,
that's
no
right.
Respect for each other's lives. And I
right.
think I'm not gonna blame it on music. I'm going to blame it on media that has vilified the black man, vilified, and we bought into the hype.
Oh,
we
okay. I can really say that, but it seems like they try to fit that label. Some people, not everybody. And I want to say first, not all black communities off the chain. Not every black person in the community / neighborhood are out of control or chaotic, but they're
right,
exposed
right.
to a chaotic environment.
But
I'd like to intervene for a second.
Go ahead.
The biggest thing for me, the biggest thing, and probably for you guys as well, a lot of your other callers or people who listen, is the discipline factor. I came up in the 60s and 70s in elementary school. Teachers were allowed to beat your ass if you did out of pocket. So like I mentioned earlier about the government's telling you can't discipline these kids. You can't discipline them. They can just do anything they want to do. And that's what we got a result of that right now. That's what's going on. That's what's running rampant and insanity anymore.
Okay.
That's what's happening here.
All right. I got a call. Let me let 4159 in. Welcome to Provocative Thought.
Salam alaikum, Brother Carlton.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Blessings to all the other callers. I want to chime in on a couple things that I didn't hear. And you and I personally, we've had some of these conversations. But one of the things that I'm starting to notice is the release of the dopamine from the brain and the sensation that it gives, and how we're feeding ourselves with this negative energy through our music. At the same time, it's a negative message, but we're supporting ourselves with something that feeds that pleasure zone. And that takes over. After a while,
right.
that takes over. It becomes addictive. You know, like we listen
right.
to low-frequency music, hip-hop, but it's also pleasurable because we dance and drinking. So we're training our
right.
minds
making
to accept the worst condition. Yeah, we're accepting
right.
ourselves to accept the worst condition and turning that condition into something pleasurable. So all of our senses
okay,
are being attacked.
Hold on for a
minute.
Hold on. What's that noise in the background?
The train.
What's that
hey,
noise?
The
right,
train.
I'm just going to... All right. Okay.
I don't
Go
know
ahead.
Who that
Put
is.
Me on mute.
All right.
Yeah, wow.
All right, you're good.
So all of our senses are constantly being bombarded through the music, television, the media, and the idea of gravitating towards this destructive nature is that we can buy into it. Some people are going to succeed and make money from it. That's what they pushed on the agenda. Instead of, you know, we going to school and becoming having professions and things like that, you can become a rapper, you can become the worst and give the worst message,
right.
but turn out to be successful, and that hits
right.
the hood. You see, doctors that,
right.
that grow up in the hood, okay, doctors that grow up in the hood, that move out of the hood and live someplace else and become a doctor, yes, they're successful, but they're not back in the hood, so they don't share that success. The younger
right.
people don't get to see that because they're not in front of them, but what's in front of them is a destructive nature that has benefits to it.
Right.
You know, so they're not going to turn it down. It becomes easy. I can, like you said before, it's easy to do wrong, and you can do
right.
it well. And if you're going to get make money from being evil, hey, people are going to do it. There's nobody coming out here giving us jobs. There's no factories. In fact, we're the consumers. That's what we are. We've been the consumers. So as far as for our neighborhoods, the next thing that's going on is that we have younger parents. We have parents that don't care about education, parents that have children that, you know, go to school destructive, and then the parent come down there destructive. So they have no sense of accountability. Now, that's just one of the things that I see on the daily, you know, that happens in a neighborhood. But the main thing that I see that happens in a neighborhood and a community is that we don't have a neighborhood and we don't have a community. We have people that live there, but we're not associated with them because we barely know our neighbors. We barely talk. It's not like 1960, 1950, or any of those times where people knew each other. So we're more distant. So we really have strangers amongst us.
Right.
So you can't build anything with a bunch of strangers, you know.
Well,
the next thing
to,
is going
to
be one more thing. The other thing that I'm going to say is that we become a narcissistic society. So the more selfish we become, the less we're going to be propelled to be together. So it's every man for themselves.
That's capitalism.
Well, one of the things I wanted to throw in, you had the caller had mentioned the education factor. Well, in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, and the 70s, the people had, if you want to call education something, it was better back then than it is now. The people have respect.
Can I answer to that, though?
Okay.
The one thing about the education back then, although we had the freedom to get the education, it was what we were educating ourselves with. We bought into the education of a title to fit the rate of the work that we were going to do. So, you know, you want to become a lawyer because you want that rate. But we didn't educate ourselves on survival. And that's the difference. Their survival, their thing of educating us was for their survival. Yes, I want you to become a doctor, a scientist, so you can work in my law firm, my factory. Don't go out there and become an entrepreneur. Don't become the inventor that's going to show people how to build in within their community or farm, because now you're going to be able to survive and you're not going to need me. So when we got educated to become workers, not survivors. And the thing about that is we forgot that we are in a war. Every day we forget we are in a war. We've been in a war since they brought us over here, and we're still in the war, but we're acting as if we don't have an enemy.
Well, I have a different spin on the war that you're referring to, but this is not the conversation that is at hand. We'll talk about that another time.
Okay,
well.
So let me get this here. So black people have learned to debase the value of life of a black person as a result of their history of slavery, Jim Crow, and the debased attitudes of the white community or political structure. And so has the victim become like the perpetrator, as you know, as in a lot of cases of abuse? Have the victim, right, the African American,
we become worse
black,
than the perpetrator. We become
worse. We become worse than.
Because they had a value. They seen a value in us. We don't see a value in ourselves.
Good point. That's an absolute.
That is a good point. That is an excellent point, because they value themselves and abused us, but we abuse ourselves and don't value us.
Even worse,
right?
Than
that's
what they
saying,
did.
Right?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yep.
Man, okay. All right. Now get somewhere. Okay, that's a good point right there. So
now we could go 1,000 times deeper than this, but not for this particular show.
You can get as deep as you want to get, long as you speak it plainly, so my listening audience can understand what you're saying. You still there?
Yeah,
I'm here.
Hello?
Yeah.
Okay, so you know, there appears to be little respect for adults in the neighborhood. I know we talked about that. We talk about that all the time, frequently. Being older, very little respect for adults in the neighborhood. Some say children have learned not to respect adults from adults who do not respect themselves. If that is true, and it may be for some, adults need to raise the moral, ethical bar. The fact that you can respect anyone, even those you perceive as not respecting themselves. You can respect anybody. Someone could view the chaos in the black neighborhood, and you guys just said this, as a form of self-disrespect and judge the black community as a community that does not deserve to be respected. And I think you guys just said that, right? One of you, right?
But I just don't want to be there.
Yes, sir.
Right. You can respect a homeless person, an addict, a prostitute, and even someone who's just being disrespectful. You still can show respect to that person. You don't have to admire what they're doing, because the word respect means a feeling of deep admiration for someone or something, of their abilities and qualities and achievement. But it also refers to due regard for the feelings, wishes, rights, or traditions of others. Respect for human rights. Due regard. And I think we all deserve to be respected. Our life is worth something. You know what I'm saying? It's worth more than the way it's being portrayed in the community. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
So, you know,
right.
It's no excuse.
I agree. And like Paris,
I think our community.
Oh, I'm sorry. But like
no,
the brother was saying, what he was alluding to as well is the situation dealing with the
race. Got another
like
caller.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Let's
call it 32-63. Welcome to Provocative Thought.
Yeah, hi there. This is Brother Mark.
Brother Mark, how you doing, Mark?
Yeah, I'm good. You know, I was listening to the conversation, right, where I heard where one of the brothers was saying that about us being born over here and being used. The fact is, you have to look at that, because we was born over here and we was being used as products to pick cotton, right? But now,
right.
You know what I'm saying, we can't keep running that same thing. We got to start doing things by ourselves. I heard
right.
a guy say this here, and this was a member of one of the Ku Klux Klans the other day I think it was on the internet. He said he want these young brothers to keep killing each other, and they feed right into it. They doing with exactly what they want them to do. He said keep killing each other, y'all. You know, and matter of fact, step the game up, kill more. He said y'all doing
right.
what we used to do, so now is that we don't have to do it no more because y'all doing it to yourselves.
Right.
But when you think about that and look at what's going on, we are doing it to we're doing a lot of things to ourselves, right? But
right.
But also, we become a product of our environment. We got to stop trying to live their dream and start living our own dream. We ain't got to depend on, you know, the next man for a job. Create our own jobs. You know what
right.
I'm saying? You know, and that's where a lot of our young kids are being taught, you know what I mean, being hooked up on Gucci and labels and stuff. And that's what they consist their life around, you know, labels and signs and things like that. And that's not what life's about. And this is why a lot
right.
of these young boys killing each other. Up. If you ask them, why did you shoot him? Over drugs, a couple of dollars, somebody else's dream, that's not even realistic. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, you kill somebody because you're trying to get some money because you want to go downtown and buy a pair of Jordan sneakers. You know what I mean? But you know, it's crazy. First of all, we got to get our priorities together. And something Kanye West said that I didn't agree with, about I don't know if y'all heard that he said that we act like we wanted to be slaves. But in that context, nobody wanted to be a slave. You know what I'm saying? But
that's
when
right.
you come over here and you keep doing the same mentality, I think that's what he was trying to say, but he put it in the wrong perspective. You didn't have a choice in that matter. If somebody takes you somewhere and make you do something against your will, then you're a slave.
Right.
I mean, that could be in anything. It could be in food, cigarettes, whatever, right? You know what I'm saying? But
right.
we got to turn this thing around and start feeding into, start creating our own, you know, start like this talk show. This is something where you can come up with ideas, you put information, You know what I mean? And I'm listening to y'all talk, and I said, well, you know, I need to, you know, express my views on things. I'm not concerned about a pair of Gucci.
I'm hearing some noise in the background.
Nine.
Are you near a train or something?
No, it's not
Starbucks. That's right.
Hello?
Okay.
You called me.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, yeah. But like I was saying, you know, that's the whole deal, you know. We got to start creating our own jobs and creating our own, like what you did the other night. You got the information for me from my brother, you know?
Right.
So we got to start doing things for ourselves and start depending on somebody else to do it for us.
Right. Okay, we have another call on 8258. Let's let him mention. You can hold on,
okay.
Mark. All right?
I'm in still listening.
Okay, 8258. Welcome to Provocative Thought.
Hello?
Hello.
Is it me? Hello?
Yes, you on. Carol?
Is this? Yeah. Hey, Carlton.
All right,
you know,
welcome.
I was thinking, I was listening to the people talking, but I think one of the problems in the black community is that we forgot where we came from. Which, in forgetting where we came from, we're going to tend to repeat the same error. You know, people forget. When you look back after the post-Civil War, blacks during the Reconstruction period, they worked hard, you know, to become successful. I don't know what happened, but I believe, like some brother was saying, you know, that we fell for the okey-doke. We believed it's hype. You know, because somebody speaks something over you and which they don't expect anything of the black youth or even black, I'm going to say black adults, they're just as bad now in 2018. You know, they don't reach for anything. Because you tell me why in the community, even amongst that, where you have all this chaos and everything, you do have people who reach beyond the chaos. You understand what I'm saying? They're not falling
right.
for the okey-doke. They set
right.
examples. They set goals for themselves, and I think that's another issue. There's no vision when you look on an individual basis. You could talk to somebody and say, well, what are you doing? Where do you see yourself in 5 years? They don't have a vision.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible says
right.
without a vision, the people perish, you know. So we see people
right.
perishing as a community and as individuals because they don't have any goals for their own selves, you know. So I think that's one of the problems. It's just no vision. Not because, and I don't even know why. When we grew up in a poor community. This was in a middle-class community. However,
right.
you know, I think we had a history. You had people that stressed education all the time. Where are you going to be when you grow up? Where are you going to, you know what I mean? So you were always thinking
right.
about, when I grow up,
right.
I want to have a job that can pay my bills. You know, you might not
right.
have known specifically what it was you wanted to do, but you were looking towards the future and things to do. Another thing, we had two options. You either went academics or you went, what's the other term?
Trade.
If it wasn't academics, you went trade. And I don't
right.
think they had that employed for a lot of those youth like we did. You were actually being prepared to survive in the world, you know, and
right.
jobs were easier to get then than they are now. I know in my job, to work in the kitchen, the only requirement when I initially started that job was you had to be 16 years old. But over time, they required you to have a high school diploma. Why? Because you had a lot of people of a certain hue coming out there to work who didn't have
right.
that. So now all these things started coming to weed out, you know, certain groups of people, you know, and then we
right.
just fell in that okey-doke where we stopped becoming educated. We stopped getting the education. And I don't believe, like the brother was saying, that the education is for you to work for us. That might be what they want, but they can't tell you what to do with your education. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
You do control
right.
that. And you can determine how you want to use your education to help yourself, your family, your community, et cetera. I just think our problem is we had no vision and that we have fallen
no
for this
vision.
Okey-doke. No vision. We fall for the okie doke. We can't distinguish reality from fantasy, you know. You watch these little videos where these people, you know, are doing this stuff. But I say, have you looked at Snoop Dogg's kids? They're not living that thug life. You understand what I'm saying?
That's a good point.
Nobody's
right.
looking and saying, hey, what's going on here? He's not doing this for his kids. Why am I following this stuff, you know? It's just about they're doing that to make money, but you can't separate that this is a money-making thing. They don't live like that. They don't want their kids living like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's all. Bye-bye.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for calling in.
Are you still there, Cole?
Okay. Yes, sir.
I'd like to chime in on what... Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Chime in.
I'd like to chime in. The one thing she said about how Snoop Dogg's kids live and how others live is that Snoop Dogg lived a life that we are all living, but he capitalized off of it. So the thing is, if he can do that, others think that they can do it, and that perpetuates that process. Well, I'm going to try too. If he can talk about women and make money, I'm going to talk about women and make money. But they don't want their kids to live that way either. The whole process is, I want to make money so I can get out too. So, again, everybody's individually trying to get out, but they don't have a source on how they're going to sustain themselves. So the real factor that I see is that we are the consumers. We bought into it. We bought into it.
Right.
We're the product. We are the product. Now we have to figure out, how do we not become the product? How do we not become the consumers? And it's simple. We have to focus on not just trying to focus on everybody, individual families. You know, if there's a dude out there and he got kids and he's got broken relationships with that woman, find that, fix that. Start planning together as a family. And then families become communities and neighborhoods. But start collectively putting their funds and their money into the worst, because the worst is about to come. Right now, what we're talking about now is minor compared to what's about to come. If we get bombed, we don't have food. We don't have land. We don't have water. And we don't have people talking about how to get the resources or how to heal ourselves. So, the thing that I think that's going to help us is when the average person starts looking like the superstar. We got to start making the right thing look good. And it's got to come from family.
Okay, so we got to start at family, because that's first base. You're born, you
that's
have your family,
base.
Right? Your mother and your father, right?
Yep.
First
that's
base,
right.
That's true. You have to start. You're going to hit a home run, you got to do it at the home plate. That's true. That's a very good theory there. And, you know, just to add to what you're saying, back in, you ever heard of Black Wall Street in Oklahoma? Anybody hear about that?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard
Black
about
Wall
it.
Street. Now, now look, this Cedric Muhammad is saying that these people, right, they struggle and prosper in Oklahoma's Black Wall Street because of they were being exposed to an intense form of segregation. You know, back then they was hanging people like it was like a basketball game or something like that. Y'all know that, right? So these people in that environment, right, and not to say we're not being murdered today. We are being murdered, as we just said, by ourselves. We have a lot of police murders that are very, very suspicious, and people getting away with just doing things to black people in general. But these people manage to do something in that environment. That was a cold environment for black folks. So, my question is, why can't we do that again? Why can't we work together as a community? But you're not going to get that community, right, with the disrespect that we have in the communities now, with the distrust that we have. We're never going to get another Greenwood. What's it, Greenwood, Oklahoma? Tulsa, Oklahoma? You're never going to get that with the disrespect and the distrust that we have in the community today. We got kids disrespecting adults like they're supposed to do that. You know what I'm saying? I tell the story. I met this lady on around the corner from this tuck. We used to sit on her steps. We hear that door crack. We get up off the steps. You know what comes next? Hot water. Nobody cuts that lady out. Nobody gave it no dirty looks. You understand what I'm saying? We respected it. We knew we weren't supposed to be on our stack. We know the, you know what I'm saying? We knew what time it was. You know what I'm saying?
That's crazy. Yeah, that's the truth, though. You're right, Carl.
Yeah.
They lost respect, man.
Yeah. Come on. You wrong, you wrong. You know what I'm saying? We ain't break that lady's windows out. We ain't cuss at her, threaten her enough. It was get up. We got the hell off her steps. That's what we did.
If you don't respect yourself, how can you expect somebody else to respect you? You got to respect yourself. And that's the only way we're going to respect one another is respect. And then you can work together. Like, you know, and that's real. You know?
Right.
You know, respect that these kids have today. They don't look at it. They think it's a joke. You know, oh, look at so-and-so. He's cussing or he's dancing sexy and all this. But that's, you know, it's not a laughing matter. It's real.
That's right. We got another call on 0036. Welcome to Provocative Thought. Q?
Hey, Carl.
Hello?
What's up?
How you doing?
Hey, Carl. What's up?
All right. How you doing?
This is Q.
We got Mark Paris. And Kenny, I'm listening in.
How y'all doing? How's everybody else doing? I'm calling. All right. I just want to say, you know, I agree with a lot of things that were said, but one of the things I don't agree with, I understand, and everybody knows that we got a lot of things from outside of the community attacking us. But we've always had that, and just like somebody else said, we still, you know, at a time, we still held it together. We were still together as a people. We looked out for each other.
That's right.
Right. And the point now, like you were saying, is they learn to distance themselves with all this disrespect and everything like that so that those people that do stand out, they can't stand there anymore because they got two cars now. Somebody wants to get one of their cars. Somebody from the community wants to take one of their cars. Or they want to get into their house while they're at work. And don't nobody know nothing. Nobody, even though everybody knows, you know what I'm saying? They don't stop
right.
from doing it. And then when someone comes to, you know, to address it and to, you know, like a law enforcement matter, nobody knows anything, you know? So when
right.
you're looking out for each other, you know, those people had taken, you know, they've taken the position of looking out for, you know, the criminal, you know?
Right.
Mm.
Who wants to hang around for that? I can't stay there for that. I got to move.
Right. Right. So that fragments the community and you don't trust each other, right?
Yep.
What do you say?
Yeah.
Hello?
Hi.
Breaking up.
This is Empress.
Oh, Empress, how you doing? Empress. Oh, how you doing? We have Empress on the line. Welcome, Empress.
Empress, oh, hi. This is awesome. I know there's only a few more minutes, but what
no,
I really
we got
feel...
No, we're here to, no, we're here to 9:30. Don't worry about a few more minutes.
Beautiful. If I may interject, I'm loving the building. I'm loving the sharing. There's a lot of amazing points. Personally, I really think we sometimes overthink things, and the reality is we need a reality check. The Bloods and the Crips were born because they had a reality check. The Black Panthers were born because they had a reality check. And the reality of the matter is there are cracks in the earth everywhere. There's lava spewing. There are earthquakes where there shouldn't be earthquakes. There's tsunamis where there shouldn't be. And we think that because we're in America or we're in touch, we forget tectonic plates are. That there is a wheel, there is a cycle, there is already set forth in motion. And we don't...
Mm-hmm. Hello? Hello? Okay.
Yeah. I'm still here, Carl.
You still there? Okay, so that call was dropped. I don't know.
I'm still here.
All right, bro. Okay, so I don't know. Oh, so seems like blacks may not be organized to develop a system of collective economics, but What does it take to develop and adhere to a culture or system of safety in the black community? What do we need to do? Now, as she just mentioned, the Black Panther Party was formed to defend the black community from the physical murder, aggression, and abuse it was subjected to by the police. Let me see. Okay, that might be her again right there. Let me get Empress back on. Welcome to Provocative Thought.
Hey, King. This is me. Sorry about that. Yes, as you, they were formed to defend us. They were formed to make us, those of us who are conscious, those of us who care, those of us who are awakened enough to come together and form that community. We ask, why is this breaking down? Why is this allowed to happen? It's allowed to happen because we become complacent. We like to say, I'm not a slave to anybody, but you have. You're still dependent on NASA to take care of it. You're still depending on NASA to come and get you. You're still depending on NASA Walmart, NASA Stop and Shop, and NASA Kroger's to be there for you when you need food. You're still depending on NASA WIC and NASA food stamps to be able to be there so that you can get food instead of saying, you know what, let me start stockpiling. Because my next-door neighbor, remember the story of the mouse and the hen, they don't want to put away the grains. They don't want to put away the food. But as soon as the tragedy hit, the disaster hit, everybody wants to come and take yours. You need to defend yourself. You need to start protecting yourself. It costs nothing while you're out there buying sneakers and cars and clothes to get out there and get a couple cases of water. You have a hurricane kit. You have a tornado kit. You have a disaster. We need to get the ACW hockey stick out of here right now kit. Do you have that? If you don't have that, you don't need to be saying anything because you haven't even taken care of the first priority, which unfortunately is yourself, your family. And once you do that, then you get another couple of selves and family, and then you get community. One of the worst things that they did to us, especially as kings, as black kings, is separate the family by separating the woman from the man. That's a whole nother story. Once they were able to break the strength, the house divided against itself cannot stand, right? Even to quote scripture.
That's right.
You know, but can't stand, right? So a community divided against itself can't stand either now, can it?
That's right.
Where's the foundation? So we need to refound. We're not going to have everybody. We're not. That's just the honest truth. You have those that have become complacent that are unfortunately medically, genetically modified through the food, through television, through MK Ultra, whatever you want to call it, through conditioning, that just won't get it. That's fine. But for those that can get it, we need to stop building communities within the communities. One thing I can say about our people is once they see that it works and that it's key, they need to see it working, they will support it. They will jump on the bandwagon. And they are. They are. My particular generation, I'm now almost 40, we are waking up, and we are becoming those communities. Even if it's to the point where we have to leave this country to build communities, we are doing
it.
The key thing is, are we going back to show that we have done it, we are doing it, and it works? And that's our downfall.
Okay.
We're not doing that. We're not coming back, and we're not staying. Snoop Dogg, much respect to him, and this is that I talked about it, but are you coming back to the hood and saying, this is how you do it? He is saying, this is how I did it. This was wrong. But now that I know I'm waking you up, respect to him. But he's like one voice in a cave. We need more voices.
Right.
So the first thing we need to do is wake up. The second thing we need to do is have a reason to unite. And that reason is all these people are talking about FEMA. FEMA already said, we're not here to save you. We're not coming to do it. It is documented. YouTube it. Google it. It's there. They're not coming to save you. There's not going to be another Katrina. Look at what happened in Harvey. They're not coming to get you. You need to come and get you. And until we get that, we're destined to fail.
Okay. So we need to unite under a cause.
Exactly.
Right? As the last poet said, better to die for a cause than to die just because, right?
Exactly. And that cause right now is survival.
Right.
Survival is, and I hate to make it sound so archaic, but that's always what it's always been about. Peace, liberty, and survival. You can't make a change if you're dead.
Right.
So how do you survive? Survive on the basics. Even if you're building an infrastructure, you're building a nation, what do? You get resources. He who has resources has power. Are we not seeing this across the world agenda right now? You have nothing. You don't have anything to barter with. Food is a barter. You don't need gold and all this other stuff. Tomorrow they can say gold doesn't mean anything. The cash that you just withdrew is toilet paper. We're back to cowrie shells and pearls. That's nothing.
Right.
But food, water, and shelter, those will always be commodities.
Invaluable. Right?
Absolutely.
Food, water, and shelter, right? Invaluable resources. Right? There's no price you can put on having land and water and a place to live. Because it contributes to your survival.
I want to chime in on one thing that you were talking about, to stay on the point of it, was the disrespect from the children and in the community.
Right.
It wasn't really a strong presence of disrespect in the black community until the black community bought into the policing of parents who disciplined their children, which basically started with one little girl who sued her parents in 1980-something, and that went worldwide television, and then they started to pursue parents spanking kids and, you know, other things, other entities that took on the statute, such as social services and police and teachers becoming social service workers. And also they implemented a plan to...
What is that? Okay.
They implemented a plan to start getting information from our children in schools to talk about what goes on in their household. So they knew that if we can get the parents not to discipline the children, then that supports their cause of prison,
right,
which is an industry in itself. So really we are a market. So all the things that's happening to us is because they're training us to become their commodity, continue to be their commodity, their workers, their slaves. You know, in Pennsylvania, I think it was in 2004, the governor was sued by the private prison industry for not keeping the quota of black prisons. So when that started to fall, and when black folks stopped killing each other as quickly, they jumped on board and started making juvenile detention centers. And then they went straight for the women. And I know a lot of women may not see this, but right now there's almost just as many black women in prison, and our women are way more aggressive. You know, if I don't know how many listeners are on here right now, but if you go to YouTube, you can go to World Star, you know, and just type in girls fighting. And it's worse than men. So if you got disrespect for young ladies and women, you can guarantee that they're going to have some children that's going to be there.
Right.
Yeah, pretty much. True.
I can speak to that, though. They, in the realm where there weren't men around, in the realm where they were locking our kings up quicker than we can marry, or quicker than we can come together and build a community. So when you become aggressive, you're fighting off these slave masters, you're fighting off those of you that of yourself that are lower vibration. You're fighting off, you know, just the pressures of society and whatever your situations are. Not everybody's poor. I mean, come on. But you already know that if you come into this world with a certain level of melanin in your skin, you automatically have a lot of things stacked against you. So you had to become aggressive. You have the MC Lights, you have the Little Kims, you have the Foxys. They came out and they had to come out hard because of the things that we were dealing with. We were being raped. We were being mutilated. We were being impregnated incorrectly. There's a lot of things that were going on that created us crazy. And when we didn't need to be that anymore, they started making us bosses. They started making us bosses over our men. They started making us bosses over our counterparts, which now made you have to be even more fierce, more independent, more strong. What we need is balance. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad of the Nation of Islam, respect to him and his people, he said that a nation cannot rise higher than its woman. The reason why he said this is because the mother is your first God. That's your first teacher. That's your first leader, your nurturer, right? So
right.
Until we start reconditioning the female mind, not in the submissive, but the powerful divine feminine that she is, we can't correct this. And once they started realizing that, we started waking up as the divine feminine queens and empresses that we are. They're like, uh-oh, we need to start incarcerating them. They're waking up. That's really when that movement started to happen. Uh-oh, we can't have this. We can't have not even just the black men, but we can't have the man waking up. We can't have the lay people. And I'm going across all color boundaries. Let's just not make it a black thing. Okay, let's not.
Right.
Because even that is a divisive tool. It's divisive.
Right.
And we need to come off from this because the powers that be are both black, white, Chinese, Asian, whatever you want to call it. They don't care.
Right.
They don't care.
Right.
So let's bring it to why they lost.
I just wanted to add to what you're saying. We call that my enemy is my enemy. That's it. That's how that goes. That's what you just said, right? Your enemy is your enemy. Is it, don't be divided by what you see, right?
Don't be fooled. Because you now say, oh, well, the terrorist is the Muslim with the beard or the lady with her face covered. You know, no. Terrorist is anybody, any group, any person that causes fear over another person or group. What did they do? They used altered reality on us. They said, well, this is what you're supposed to look for so that you're not looking at what's right in front of you. My enemy is my enemy is my enemy. Clearly.
That's right.
We need to stop looking at each other as enemies and see what's the real enemy. Who's controlling those who want us as enemies? That's who I'm looking at. Don't come and tell me what Joe said and what Sarah said. Please tell me why they were able to say it to you. Because that's how I find my enemy.
Okay.
Sometimes
we're
our own enemies. Sometimes
what?
Sometimes we're our own enemies. And fighting within, you know?
Right.
And that's why a lot of times we can't come together, because if you don't know where you came from or have no vision, how you gonna give someone else any advice? So the first part thing, we have to love ourselves, like your sister was saying. You know what I mean? You got to have vision. And most of these brothers, right, you say, like, you know, like, well, what would you like to be 5 years from now? A lot of them couldn't tell you. And the most, you know, the most hurting thing, a young brother said this to me when I asked him that. I said, you know, you can't sell drugs all your life, right, because, you know, you're not going to have no Social Security. You're not going to have, you know, you can't be an old man standing on the corner all your life. You know what he told me? He said, I live just for the day. You know what I mean? Die young. What did he say? He said, live fast, die young. I just live for the day. And that's bad. Mm. You know what I mean? That's, you know, just like you were saying about the lady, we have respect. We have more respect. And we wouldn't even walk past a church and cuss, you know, or somebody steps, you know, like you said, hot water would be coming next, right? But back then, we had respect. Parents, the neighbors was allowed to whoop your butt and take you to your parents, and then from that point you might get another butt whipping. Therefore, we got to gain back to respect, and respect starts with yourself. I thank God today that I'm not out there on drugs, because I had lost respect for myself. I didn't understand why I kept doing the same thing over and over. It was because I lost respect for me. I didn't know who I was, and this is where a lot of the young boys, they didn't give up, and they think that's what it's all about, you know, make that fast dollar, stand on the corner. But when you look at it, you can make all the money in the world and still be unhappy.
Right.
You know, it starts within. It starts within, and it's going to end within. You know, today, you know what I mean, I'm not concerned about how much money, you know, or how many cars, or, you know, it's as long as I'm happy on the inside and I can help another person. That's what it's about. It's helping one another. One thing you said, right, and that's so real,
back in I think it's only like in 1800s when the Black Wall Street, you know, mm-hmm. if those people back then could come together, and it all started was because every time they would go there and sit down, a white man, you know, would say, you know, like, you know, and you can't come in here, no blacks, you see the Jim Crow laws and stuff back then. Well, they got tired of that, and they started to quit their own jobs, start quitting their own little shops and little spots like that. And that was real. So if they could do that back then, and you said that, why we can't do that now? It should be more easier, because back then they were hanging people. You know, they didn't care. You know, and it's crazy. And that's, you know, like I said, because like my brother been in jail since he was 22 years old. And I looked at a picture he drew today, right? And it brought tears to my eyes. And I never really looked at the picture, like how I looked at it and felt what he was saying. I understood it. He'd been in jail since he was 22. He's 61 years old now, right? And check this out. He brought a picture of these bars, of jail bars, and then he had an eraser erasing some of the bars loose. And then he wrote between, he said, if there wasn't no mistakes, why would man create an eraser? So, you know, and trust me, in a way, what that meant to me was that we all make mistakes, but does that mean it's going to take the rest of our life away from us? Does that mean that we hate each other for the rest of our lives? And this is what it seemed like in the black race, you know what I mean, more in any race, that we hate one another. We don't stick together. Even the Africans come over here, and they know, and they could and open up stores and stick together. I'm talking about the ones, the blacks that been here, born and raised here. We still calling ourselves African Americans, and we born right here. Even though we know our ancestors came from Africa, but I don't know anything about Africa. But you got to know where you come from and know where you're going, and this is the real. Right. The real test is that we got to stop thinking that we can't do this, we can't do that. You can become anything you want to, but when my brother wrote that and then I looked at it, it trust me, man, it brought tears to my eyes, because I was thinking like, you know, even a man that took his life half away, he's still willing to erase that. Erase the fact that they took half his life away. All he want to know is that he made a mistake. So why can't y'all, you know, look at that? You know, we all make mistakes, but it's not going to, you know, he became a man. He grew up in there. He grew up in jail,
right.
But he became a better man. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I hear a lot of good things. You know, that's why I like calling in this show, because this is where we grow, and this is where we get our food. It's not about the physical food. It's about the spiritual food that's going to keep us going. It's just going to help us grow. And this is where a lot of these young black men are stuck on, is that they looking on the outside instead of looking on the inside. They focusing all their thoughts and ideas on the outside. I mean, it's nice to have this and have that, you know, material thing, but that's not gonna that's not what's gonna keep you happy. You could be in a room with five women, and still feel lonely.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You gotta check yourself out. Find out where you're going, who you are, your purpose for being here. And all starts with God. You know, some people don't believe in God, but I believe in the higher power. You know, like your sister was saying, you got earthquakes, you got lava, different things. But this is out of our control. Only thing that's in our control is that we can make a difference. We can make a difference for the next generation.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Carlton, look at how we came up. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know what I mean? I came up with you. You know what I mean? You watched us. At one person, at one time, wait, were you saying, Carlton?
Was somebody trying to say something?
Yes, I'd like to say something. Regards to the Black Wall Street, can you hear me?
Yeah.
That. Okay. In regards to the Black Wall Street, my thoughts is this. The reason why they were able to have something called the Black Wall Street is because those people back then knew their common enemy. You weren't doing anything else. You were forced to patronize one another.
Okay.
And even
what you saying?
Then,
we need a foot on our neck. What you saying? You saying that we need somebody. We need a foot about behind to get us to start doing. To get us to start moving.
No, I'm not saying that. I think some of that is a little too far gone because of the United States and the situation that we're in. I think we've far gone past that. The other thing I wanted to say is the thing about respect is, if you think about all the Italian movies with the mob, kung fu movies, Irish movies, and with respect, the one thing that the people in the community, and one of the reasons they gave respect is because they feared the community, not the police. They feared those in the community. We don't fear our community. We don't fear our elderly. We don't fear anything that happened to us. We have a thing called don't snitch. But we fear those police when they come in. So the police ain't there all the time.
How about we got a thing called FU? That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying in the community.
I agree.
What do you think about that?
But, hey.
That's what
I'm saying. I don't think that, personally, I don't think we're going to see the changes that we want to see unless there's a mass disaster throughout the world where things have to just fall apart and people have to restart. The other thing is, being that people of color overshadow those that we call Europeans, but those that we call Europeans have power and dominance over resource and physical power. Until all the people of color, of hue, come together and say, you know what? This is what we're going to do. Our situation is not going to change as far as blacks in America. Even if we get together and spend our money together, it means nothing because it's not our money. It's toilet paper to them. They're already taking the money away. So that's not the key. You know?
Right.
Even if we come together and we have resources and we want to have stores, the store's not going to be any good to us if no one outside of our community is coming to patronize. We need outside dollars. So my suggestion would be if you have an occupation, a trade, use that occupation and rate yourself or fairly give a rate that you want to charge for your service that will bring outside people. You know, a white guy wants his hair cut, and I'm quite sure if he thinks he can get it for $5 less and a good job, he's going to travel to go get that.
All right.
The other thing is,
well, we got some Asians doing that in Kensington. $5 haircut.
Exactly.
In Kensington.
$5 haircut. We need to clean the stores. If we're going to eat Chinese food, then we need to learn to cook Chinese food. It ain't hard.
They're doing that right now. Cutting hair.
$5
to
$10. Yeah. Exactly. Right. That's what I said. Yeah.
Yeah.
So how's that help the respect in the community and us to start doing things together? How do we get there? Because I see a FU attitude, I see an aggressive attitude, it's cool to behave this way. You know what I'm saying? People seem to be proud of being or appearing dangerous. You understand what I'm saying?
But all of that.
How do we turn it around?
All of that, but it's a fart. It's a smoke screen. It's called a defensive mechanism. What else do they have but a mouth? What else do they have but a Glock? What else do they have but their fist? In many situations, they don't know that they have power in numbers because they weren't shown, or they've forgotten, or that generation is so far removed. So I hate to be the protagonist, if you will, but what else do they have but that? anybody that works with young people will know that a lot of times they build up this wall of defense. Sometimes they're the kindest, most powerful, like, leaders, but they don't know what they have. So we have to re-educate, re-doctrinate, okay?
Oh, there's the answer. Re-educate, okay. How do we reach them?
On their level. If it's through the music, if it's through movies, if it's through TV, if it's through events, get on their level. Stop trying to give them all these big words and all this other stuff, not to mention the fact that they're highly educated. They're very educated. That's what they wanted. But you take that education and you change the word image psychology, because now we have this word, a diseased word image psychology. You see black, you see bad. But from black comes all things, comes all colors. You cannot have Roy G. Biv without black. You see... You excuse the expression, but the N-word, you see nigger, you think this, but it's really an ignorant person. It has no class. It really didn't even come from negra. It really did not, if you do your research. So once we change the word image, we can start to re-educate, number one. But we ourselves have to start changing a lot of our word image psychology. Back to speaking about the young people in this generation, in respect. The way that you get respect, really talk, is to respect them. Respect their struggle. Respect where they're at. Respect the fact that the things that we thought were horrendous in our eras are even worse. They're being bombarded. It's free. Excuse me, but porn is free. You can type in something completely innocent and it, all sorts of stuff pops up. Drugs are more accessible. Now they're making them, come on. I mean, they're being inundated. So we understand at that level. Stop trying to come at them like the preacher and the old grandma. They're not trying to hear that. They know. They know. Come at them like, look, this is where you're at. I understand. I understand the struggle. I know I'm older than you, but I understand the struggle. And also, too, once you start to re-educate their people of their own age and their own generation, you start to help them because they'll start accepting their own.
I'm going to chime in on what she just said. I think one of the ways.
Right, we got one. We got 30 seconds. Let me get ready.
All right. One way of I see of doing this is to give them the power to have the voice to be able to make the changes. Like, we have hip hop, and hip hop is good. A lot of the voices out there are doing it, but they don't have the platforms. So the same devices that they use to poison us, we need to take those same devices and turn that around as the antidote. We need to, one, support shows like this on a mass level, put money into
pretty
it.
Much.
But not only can one person have that narrative and that control, but bring in younger people to let them host their own show, talk about their problems, because they're going to reach each other. We're going to reach our peers, but they're really going to reach their peers. Put them in power.
Right.
Give them some power to make them feel some self-worth. You know, we have a store, put them in a store. Families can go out there and pay for everything else. It don't take much for a family to get together and say, you know what, let's get this little storefront over there, and yeah, we're going to work it, but we're going to make sure the kids work. So they will let
you're talking about building a community.
Build a community with the children.
About.
Let them build it.
Right.
Give them some tools to build.
Okay. All right, so... We're going to have to call it a night tonight. I want to thank all callers for calling in. Mark, staying on the phone. Paris, Empress, Mr. Jones, Carol, Q. I want to thank all y'all for calling tonight. And remember, we have some points. Family's been broken up. Reach people where they are. They need a vision. A house divided cannot stand, nor can a community. Love.
You will not be able to stay home, brother.
I want to thank everybody.
You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and come out. You will not be able to lose yourself on stage and
kip
out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry Hahn, woman liberationist, and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dumb in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Mother Carlton.
Yeah, what's up, bro?
Yeah, man. You know, look, that took me back. The revolution, you just play that whole thing. Because if you look at it, when they were speaking of the revolution will not be televised, everything Gil Scott-Heron was talking about back in the 70s is happening right now.
Right.
You know,
let me call you back on the line.
You know,
that's the one on the show right there.
Okay.
Let me call you back.
All right. Okay.